It's in Matthew 24, and it talks about things going to happen before coming to the Lord. He said, but let not your heart be troubled. That is our choice. That's a choice. We're believers. We're born again. And, you know, people without God, they troubled. And they can't help it. They don't have that indwelling of God, and they don't have that peace of God that we have. We have an advantage of people that's not born again. And that don't mean we're better, but we're able to cast things over on the Lord. The Word of God tells us to cast. You know, cast everything over on Him, because if you don't, your heart will get troubled. And then it'll drain you of peace and faith and all of that. Hallelujah. But you know, God's Word, I'm big on the Word. I don't know how anybody couldn't be if you're going to be a Christian. I mean, that Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. And it don't matter what generation we live in or what takes place on this planet, God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And I was thinking about this in my spirit while I was during praise and worship. I could just see a blind man, totally blind, got a stick, you know, and feeling his way, you know, through wherever he's at. But, you know, when he's in his environment, in his home, he knows how close he is to the wall. I mean, he feels it. You know, they become sensitive of hearing things. They can hear things that we wouldn't pick up on. They train themselves to hear, and the Word of God is that way. The Word of God, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, I've been having some stomach trouble for 6-7 months or longer, and I'm constantly sick at my stomach, constantly. Every minute of every hour, every day, and it can make you not feel good, okay? And so I had to learn, which I'm using it. I've been using it. I'm believing for my healing and all that. And that's the first time you've heard it. Why? Because I don't go around speaking. My words are in agreement with God's Word. And you know, what I believe, what you believe in the Bible, God's Word is seed. And seed, you know, and I come from a farmer family. My dad was a farmer, and that's what he did. You know, team mules and stuff like that. I hoed tomatoes and stuff like that at 5 years old with a scratcher game tooth. I wasn't big enough to hold a hoe, you know. So, I think that's just in me. Gardening, you know, garden tomatoes, and I mean, I overgrow everything. Teresa says plant 3 squash. I plant 6 or 8, not out of rebellion. I'm just like, man, why not plant plenty, you know, and all of that. But my point is, in the natural, you see, I understand that if I do not go and get the ground ready, the ground is our heart in the spirit realm. The ground is our heart, whether it's, that's why we got to be repentive. You know, we got to keep a soft heart, a pliable heart, stay out of, pride and arrogance and know-it-allism and not flexible, not willing to change, because God is constantly changing His people. He don't change, but He's constantly changing us to so we walk in victory like He is victory. And so, you know, I full well understand the principle of seed sowing. You know, I mean, and I particularly, you know, I don't just go and just get any kind of seed. I purpose what I want to grow. If I want okra, that I don't go up there and say, well, I'm just going to get whatever, you know. No, I purposely get okra. I purposely get tomatoes. I purposely, and each one of them, usually I fertilize different, you know. I put more fertilizer on tomatoes after they get up because they adapt to the fertilizer, you know. But now okra and stuff like that don't adapt like tomatoes do. You can kill them. You know, you can overdo it. You can overdo any of it. But how many knows we choose in our spiritual life what we want to be strong in? Do you want to be strong in faith? Well, the Bible says that faith comes by how? Hearing, and hearing by God's Word. So if you want to be strong in faith, you don't have to too much be concerned about the elements out here. You know, I mean, the storms, the challenges, and all of that, just get strong in faith. Take God's Word. Focus on God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. What we believe in our heart, we should have to. We have to, if we want to have a faith-filled life, we have to let our words be what it come out of our mouth, what we believe. And what we believe must be based on the Word if we want the kingdom, if we want the kingdom manifesting, if we want healing manifesting. Well, you know, and just like, I mean, this is not my first battle with some kind of attack. I've been attacked back before I became a Christian. But I didn't know you could fight it. I didn't know you could resist it. I didn't know that you shouldn't speak. It's about that time of the year, you know, when things come against me and blah, blah, blah. And then you go on up, you know, and 30 years later, and you hear, I mean, your body changes, all that stuff, you know. And then you hear out in the world, you know, I just can't do this. I don't understand that, you know, and all that. We can't get in agreement with that stuff. Come on, somebody. God's Word is seed. And I guarantee you, I've got tomatoes right now. But you know what I've had to do the whole time after I planted those tomatoes? I've had to make sure the morning glories don't grow up and choke them out. I've had to make sure that worms don't get in there and eat my tomato plants up. They will, and they'll eat your tomatoes up. In other words, I planted that seed, and that seed came up. But that seed has to be took care of until my harvest comes in. And, you know, and that means in the spiritual realm, we plant the Word of God. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. That is seed that you must renew your mind to it. And I mean get it in your heart and then let it be coming out of your mouth. I don't care what your foot says. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what Grandma and Grandpa went through and everybody in Bluntsville going through. That all of that, I mean, I don't mean that I don't care, but I'm not going to let that be my determination and what I believe. Based on my body, it might be having some of the same symptoms. Bless God, I'm going to believe by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and I'm going to live a long, satisfied life. Why? Because God's Word is the seed that we put in our heart, and I mean we believe that, and then we take care of it, and the tomatoes comes, and the long life comes, and the satisfied life comes. See, we're living in a troubled world right now. I've never seen a generation so ungodly as I see this generation. I'm talking about in a big scope. I've never seen it so. So Satan is just wide open, where they're calling evil good and good evil. Church is labeled as evil to a lot of people today. That's fine. We're not to let our heart be troubled, Jesus said. He said, believe in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. For what so I would have told you. He said, and I'm going away, but I'm going to come back and receive you to myself. Where I go, there you're going to be also. Well, the Bible says that we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You got to believe that. You got to take that word in and say, no matter what happens on this planet, praise God, God's Word trumps everything in my life, praise God. I mean, 1,000 might fall at my side according to Psalms 91. There's going to be a great falling away from faith, the Bible says. There's going to be some that make shipwreck in faith, but we're not to look at that and say we can't make it. We're not to let the enemy lie. He'll lie to you, he'll lie to me, he'll lie to us and say, well, you know, look how bad it is. God just ain't going to move. No, God is on the move. I'm telling you right now, for the last 8 months, 6 to 8 months, I cannot go by how I feel. Not in the morning, not at noontime, not in the afternoon. I go by what the Word says. I walk by faith. You walk by faith and not by sight. You must. And if you let Satan get that word out of your heart and out of your mind, praise God, then you will not walk by faith. You cannot worry and be in faith at the same time. You cannot 1 minute say, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and get on the phone and tell everybody how you feel. You're not in faith. These very few people know what I just told you. Why don't you tell us? I'll be praying for you. Well, just pray for me anyhow. I ain't got to tell you everything, right? The Bible says pray for one another. He didn't say pray when you find out something's wrong with one of your brothers and sisters. He said pray for one another. Right? Lift one another up. Plead the blood of Jesus over one another. There's still power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you know what? Satan will use my words or your words and how you feel and how everything's going on. If you're testifying to that, he will use those words against people that's listening to you. Hallelujah. But if you believe in your heart, praise God, that Jesus is Lord and Jesus will take you. I don't care. Darkness is going to cover the earth. Gross darkness to people. But he says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen on you. He was in there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was in there with Daniel when the government was against him. The government is against the church today. They're not pro-life. They are for killing. We are not. Satan is for killing. But we're not to get mad at all. And I hear people all the time, and don't get caught in the trap. They say, Biden is not my president. He is the president of the United States of America. And the Bible says for me and you not to slander him. The Bible says for me and you to lift him up. Whether we like it or whether we don't, pray for those that are in authority. Lift them up, hallelujah. But I'm not ignorant of the mess that we're in because of this administration. But this administration can't break us. It didn't make me and you, and it can't break me and you. If we keep our eyes on the Lord through the Word of God. I've taught Travis before. He just said it the other day. He said, we're taxed about 5 or 6 times on the money. I said, yeah, we are. You pay taxes on groceries. You pay taxes on the money you make. You pay taxes on your land. He said, you don't never own your land. No, you pay taxes on it. If you don't pay taxes on it, they take your land. Although it's your land. But you know what? Don't look at it. You don't look at that. You believe that God is your provider. God is your deliverer. He said he is. He said, I am El Shaddai. I'm the God. I am your God that takes care of you. I provide for you. I'm with you. I'm always with you, even to the end. And you know what? People come and people go. And it does bother us when people we want to come to church and our kinfolk and all of that stuff, but because we know that if they would get in the Lord and get plugged in the Lord and get in the will of God, that their lives would change for the better. They would walk in a greater awareness of God. We know all that, so our heart wants them to come to know what we know. But we can't let that move us if they don't want Him. If they don't want to acknowledge Him, don't let anything discourage you if everybody around you don't want to go after Jesus. I'm talking to somebody. I understand. I've been crying in the bathrooms before, Mac, because I felt like I was laying my life down for people, and I went long ways with them and give and bought them cars and helped them off of the bottom and get to know Jesus, and then they just turn their back and abandon. Y'all know what that feels like. But you know what? That I do know. God always showed up and he says, what has that got to do with what I've told you to do? And that comforted my heart. He wasn't getting on to me. He was saying, you're looking at things in the natural. If you'll look at me, then all of that stuff won't bother you. So that's what you got to do, whether it's going to church or whether it's where you are financially right now, praise God, or whatever. I've determined in because of the Bible that I'm going to be wealthy in my last years, and it's not because I'm going to have 1,800 jobs. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, and it is working for me every day. The Bible says in Psalm 68:19 that God daily loads Scotty up with the benefits of his salvation. Every day I'm expecting God to load me up. Why? His Bible says it. Its word is seed. And I put that seed in my heart 28 years ago. And, but God, I won't turn it loose. I don't care what happens in the natural. I will not turn it loose. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that if we continue in his word, then are we his disciples. And we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Jesus went on in that parable that I just quoted, and they said, we're the seed of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham. He said, I know you're the descendants of Abraham. He said, but you try to kill me, he said, because my word has no place in you. Well, you know what that means today? We got to make sure we continue in his word. We are his disciples. We're continually being set free, and don't reject none of the word of God. Because then Jesus, we will push him out, kill him, not really kill him, but kill him from moving. Because the word ain't got no place. See, the word of God is the most important thing after we're born again that we get established in. We must be established in God's word. We must be established in that Jesus died on the cross, that we don't work to be right with God. Jesus did it and made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've been made right with him. And we don't have to earn anything to get this word to work for us. Because do you know what? The ones that embrace the word will be doers of something. They will. The faith will cause you to be a doer. It'll cause you to love your enemies. It'll help you to love your husband, to submit to your husband. It'll cause you, even if you ain't got a husband, to teach what the word says to the young ladies or the young men. To love your wife as Christ so loved the church. See, God's word is seed, and it brought a harvest of no divorce in my life. I'm 100% positive of what I'm telling you. That if I had not have, and we had not have, planted the word of God in our hearts, we would not be here today together. I don't have to guess. I don't have to guess it. So why I'm telling you that is because the word of God was put into the mind and hearts of two people that didn't know what we're really supposed to do, but we knew what God's word said, and we wanted to care about what God wanted to care about, and that word brought us into an abundant marriage. It's not a perfect marriage. There's not a perfect marriage that I know of. Not a perfect marriage, but a marriage where the enemy can't steal, kill, and destroy. And progressively learning what things are, he will lead us and guide us into things in our personal life. When we put that word first place and final authority, whatever it is, then he will lead us and guide us. He'll cause the enemy to be smitten and drove back. And we'll get to heaven one day and he'll say, yep, your faith stopped him here and he couldn't do that there. And he was rebuked here because of y'all's stance and your faith. Satan tried to destroy. He's tried more than once to destroy this church. He can't do it as long as we're not quitters. If this church had everybody in it tonight that said that the Lord called them here, we would done had to break the walls down. And that's not just a think. I've been here 21 years. But you know what? I'm not in a whine basket. Whine? Why me, Lord? Why am I going through this? Why can't I done be full? Why can't, you know, I ain't into all of that. I'm into doing the will of God. No weapons formed against me will prosper. Come on, somebody, that's what you got to be doing. No weapons formed. Yeah, my granddaughter, but no weapons formed against me will prosper. Yeah, it don't look, but God. But God will step in. God is, he's faithful to you. Well, I want it to happen now. Well, he's patient God. He's patient. I mean, he's not sitting up there sweating all my problems coming against me. Look, and another thing that Christians do, is we give our word and we keep it. We got to be trustworthy. I mean, the word caused me. Before I got saved, you couldn't trust me for nothing. I'll tell you, let me borrow your car, bring it right back. No, I'm in Teresa's going to Georgia in it. We're leaving. We ain't concerned about not doing right. But then you get down there born again, had a guy just had a job just the other day. I'm going to demand what I do out of people. What I mean by that is, you know, I told a guy he wanted to buy a door. He said, oh, okay, I had one big job where I'm going to make $5,000 in one day. And the dude's supposed to mail me a down payment on the doors, okay? Because I don't charge anymore. I pay cash for everything. I don't charge nothing, ever. I don't have to. I believe my way up. I believe down there when I didn't have no other choice that God would make a way for me. I believed in that Bible that I'm going to be the head, not the tail, and I'll lend and not borrow when I didn't have nothing. You hear me? God's word is seed, and it'll bring harvest. And you've got to walk it out. See, that's the hard part. That's the challenging part, is walking it out. And I mean keeping your mouth in line and in agreement with God, keeping your thinking in agreement with God, casting down those imaginations, those thoughts that come to you and says, well, you won't never be able not to borrow. You won't never be able to not charge. That's just not possible. The Bible says all things are possible to those that believe. I believe that, Luke 9:23. And I am here today to tell you that God's word is seed. And I don't care what realm it's in, you seek the Lord. You get that word on it, and you meditate on it, and you think on it, and you say it when everything is contrary to it, and God will back that word up, and God will bring you a harvest. God will bring a harvest. I told that dude, $5,000 in one day. But I tell you here, and I have told you for 20-something years, that we don't go after money. Money's not our God. Because if money is my God, then I'm going to be afraid to deal with this dude and make him do what he says. So he's supposed to mail me a check. 3 days went by. Didn't get a check. I waited a week. Didn't get a check. So I sent him a message. I told him, I said, I'm giving you till tomorrow to get my down payment or I'm canceling them doors in the morning. Poof! Poof! I thought, you know what? I'm going to do what I say and you're going to do what you say. If you ain't going to do what you say, then I'm not going to do business with you. Because what about when I put your doors in? Am I going to get the same response of my money that I work for? If you go work for somebody, you ain't going to say, I'll just keep it. Don't worry about it, you know. I know the company's a little bit trouble right now. Just hang on to your payday. I mean, they don't even have a concept of doing you like that. Right? And so he calls me the next morning. Where are you at? And I said, I'm on the other side of Blount County. I said, I'll be at this address. Like that. I said, I've got to go to Gunnerville, blah, 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 and then I'm going to be back at this address, and I'll be there at 11 o'clock. I'm not going to his house. I'm not going. I'm not running. I'm a busy man. See, you got to understand that people's time is just as important as yours. I don't care if you're watching Gunsmoke. That is just as important as me digging a pond to you. Okay? And I shouldn't invade in that. I won't if I'm really right. And so, anyways, he calls me up. He said, how far out are you? I said, look, man, I said, you could save yourself from doing this. Yeah, how's that? I said, put me a check in the mail. I said, that's easy. And I'm thinking, man, he's liable to tell me just keep the doors, start cussing me out. I thought, I don't care. I'm demanding that. I'm going to demand you do what you tell me you're going to do, and I'm going to do what I tell you I'm going to do. Christians, we are Christians. Come on, somebody. I mean, if we can't, we can make it right. We can say we ain't coming. We can say we're not going to do it, right? Well, I just had he got me a check. I had the check the next day. That's how quick it got there. It's on the bar right now. Well, I had another one. And I'm telling you this for a reason. Because I'm not going to lose my integrity. People's not going to make me mad. I don't get mad no more. I love. Love will put a stop to things that has come to try to destroy you. I don't care if it's your mama, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your next door neighbor, your whatever. And that's not being hard. They choose this life. I choose to have integrity. I choose to be faithful to the Lord. I choose to be dependable. I choose, and the anointing comes on me, enables me to do it, and it does you too. This ain't going the way I thought. Y'all good with it? We live in a world where people will just do you wrong if you let them. And then they'll make you feel bad because they did you wrong. You had to make good decisions. And so I had another one called, got a price on the door. Now, ain't my first time dealing with him. I thought I'm going to give him. I told Travis, I said, well, everybody deserves a second chance. He said, Dad, this is about four or five. I said, well, you know, a couple of years have been by. Might be, you know. And so I told the guy, I said, okay, I'm going to put it in for this. I'm going to be in Oneonta at 10 o'clock in the morning. You meet me in Oneonta, I'm going to be at a certain place and bring me $2,400. And so I called, no answer. I'm headed to Oneonta. Me and Travis rolled into Oneonta. I said, what time is it? He says, 10:01. I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock. And so he didn't answer. And so I told Travis, I said, well, we're going to go do this. When I leave Oneonta, I'm canceling that door. I done ordered it. And so I called somebody that I knew he would answer. And I told them, I said, call them. I said, and when they pick up, tell them they better call me. So we hung up. He called. He answered. And then he immediately called me. I said, I'm coming. I'm in Oneonta. He said, well, you said you're going to be there around 10. I said, it's 10 o'clock. I said, what time is it? 10. I said, I'm here. Well, I mean, you know where so-and-so. I said, I don't care where so-and-so lives. In other words, what he's telling me, you come by here and you get the down payment when you get done. He ain't asked me one time how much I got going on. He ain't asked me. He ain't asked me none of that. He didn't ask me that. Did you got four more jobs and then catch the truck that's delivering doors? He didn't ask me. I had all that to do. See, what I'm preaching tonight, you might think I'm just telling you my story, but I'm telling you God is anointing you to be faithful, and God wants you to have integrity, and God wants you, and God's anointing will come on you, and you will be blessed. He will bless you for it because it's your heart towards Him. It ain't got nothing to do with these people. But you take these same people, buddy, they'll get on you if you ain't there when they want you there. But they'll do you, they'll do somebody else, and they don't think that way about somebody else. That's the way the world is, and that's fine. We're in this world, but we're not of it, and we're not supposed to let it affect us. And we are to totally kill fear to the point to where we don't fear war. We don't fear the economy. We don't fear sickness and disease. We don't fear cancer. We don't fear losing. We got to get rid of fear. Get rid of it. You go around, how do you do that? You go around with the scripture, praise God, and you quit saying, well, I'm scared of this, or I'm afraid of this, and you quit saying, you're in agreement with the fear. You're in agreement with it. You're telling it, I like you. I want you. You're comforting to me. You cause me not to have to go out and step and walk on the water. Fear keep you on the bank when he told Peter to get out of the boat. Peter didn't fear. He got out on God's word. God's word give him the power to walk on that water. Jesus said, come. That word come had the power in it. When he obeyed that come, he walked on the water. Well, I would have to drop a gooseneck trailer, you know, to come. I said, well, look. I said, when I leave here, I said, I'm canceling that door. Well, I guess you'll just have to cancel. Then he sent me a text. It's just a few miles out of the way, and I never responded. Travis, he, out of his little compassion there, we're going just a couple of miles past there, you know. And he said, well, what do you want to do? I said, take me to my shop. I said, that's what we going to do. Take me to my shop. So he took me to my shop. I got out of the truck. I picked up the phone, and I canceled the door. See, I was his deliverer. But you disrespected me. You disrespected. I'm not going to get into that, people disrespecting Christians. Hallelujah. I don't have to have your money. Now, I could have used the $2,000, Mac. $2,300-something I would have made in 45 minutes. But money's not my God. And I sure ain't going to fear not getting money, because the money is not your source. Money's not your God. He said you will either love that one and cleave to it, or you'll resist it and cleave to him. He said you can't serve God in the spirit of mammon. Mammon, things, money, hallelujah. We serve him fearlessly. Well, what if I lose my job? Why are you even saying that? What if you do? Big deal. Go out and shout the victory and get in your vehicle and praise God all the way to the next one. I mean, if he needs to create jobs, that's fear. You got to get rid of fear. Get rid of that fear. Fear causes unbelief, and then it causes oppression and settle. And then you'll hunt something to appease you. And the world will begin to look good. And I mean, it'll begin to sound good. It'll feel like relief, but it's bondage. And so, anyways, I canceled that door. I told Travis, I said, I was his deliverer. I said, and he chose not to do what he said. I said, so I'm going to do what I told him I would do. Well, I ain't got time to come down there. Well, look, I hook up goosenecks too. I jack them up in just 5 minutes. I jack them up and off and load and unload tractors and trailers and doors and all of that stuff. I know what it is to have to raise a trailer off your truck so you can run down to Indiana. Usually I just pull the trailer and all, man. Jump in it and go. How hard's that? You know. And you know what? I felt like I had moved mountains. See, y'all quiet, you're learning. You ain't got to let people run over you because you're afraid they're not going to like you. You're afraid they're not going to agree with you. You're afraid. The Bible says, be not afraid, for God has not given you a spirit of timidness, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That was me loving him. You might not can see it, because, see, why give place to the devil? Because if you can't meet me and get the down payment, even though you might have it, am I going to have trouble getting my money when it get done, right? So I didn't have that problem till that phone call come. Had no concept of it. Just like the other guy, I'll cancel you. I would have did it back down yonder, not as quick as I would now, because the enemy's not playing. He wants to hook you. He wants to hook me. He wants to hook you up with people. I'm not going to fellowship with people that I'm not talking about they're not perfect now. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with non-believers. And I know that's talking about people that ain't saved. But it's also, I'm not going to sit at a table and eat with people that's going to cry about all their sickness and go to church and praise God on Sunday. Because that will affect me. If I'm going to sit there with them, I'm going to say, where's Jesus? Jesus, he's healer, man. Is he healer over at your church? Your Bible, what Bible you got? I'm going to do something like that. I'm not just going to sit there and say, oh, these poor people. No, man, we're not defeated. If we're strong ourselves, then we will speak boldly and strongly to them. Why? Because the word, the Bible says the righteous are what? Bold as a lion. We're bold against unbelief. I'm still working on it. I'm not telling you I'm up here, got it all perfected, praise God. But I'm really trying to watch what I say. What I say, and I'm trying to watch what my intentions and all of that, so that my path is straight. The Bible said He'll make the crooked places straight. The Bible says that I will know people by their fruit. So if you're a lazy Christian, we know it. Come on, somebody. If you're unfaithful on the job and you go drag milk the cow, that's ungodly. We know it. We'll know it. We'll see it in your actions around church. You'll start something, never finish it. See, if you get dedicated to Jesus, we'll know it. If you get dedicated to Him and get in that Word and start doing that Word and all that, if we go to slacking, you'll start getting on our nerves. Y'all okay? Everybody saved, ain't you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, look, the enemy's not playing. And this, and I mean, darkness is against light. I mean, there's a war going on. There's a war going on in the schools. There's a war going on in kindergarten. And I thank God I heard, Teresa lets them sing the song on the way to church. The grandkids, she takes them, school. And so Aiden, his, oh, how I love Jesus. I mean, he's getting into it, you know. He's getting into that. And come to find out, they sang it in kindergarten. I thought, praise God there now. You know, he's getting, oh, how I love Jesus. He's getting it there at nap time. They can sing her songs at nap time, you know. And but you know what? Teresa, and I know Mom and them, but I'm just talking about her. She's taking the opportunity, Mac, to get them in a right spirit, because kids fight each other. I mean, Aubrey pulls up the other day, and I could tell she's like an old woman, just got her head down, barely looking up. She's coming around through there driving that thing. She's mad. And I heard them out there. I had them working a little bit, hauling off some garbage on the around where I was working. And I could hear them out there, hey, man, blah, 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 way out there. And I thought, oh, man, what are they arguing about? Oh, she don't want me to say nothing. So she gets off and she says, I said, what's wrong, baby? It's him. It's Aiden. Papa, it's him. I said, well, it'll be okay. It's all okay. You know, teaching them to get along. They got to learn how to get along. Now, little Aiden, he done started down there to kindergarten, and he's been with Mama for 5 years. You know, I mean, he's been with Mama every day for 5 years. I started him out 6 months before school, telling him, you can't stay with Mama. No, I'm not leaving Mama. And I tell him out pretty often, you know, I'm renewing his mind. He don't even know it. Nope, you're going to school, and you're not going to be able to see Mommy all day. You know, I know you're a Mommy baby, but that's okay. Nothing wrong being a Mama baby, you know. And so now, Mac, he's in another environment. He's went from being at home, just running around all day and do what he wants to do, pretty much, you know, playing this and that. Now he's come into an environment down here where he's coming under the authority of somebody. And you're going to sit still and lay still and don't scream and don't holler, don't run. He's not used to all of that. He's used to just, unless Daddy's home, just running everywhere and running. Because it don't bother Beth. And Travis, he's a little more, he's not as laid back, and that's fine. Well, I told him at the Parks house today, I was telling him about it. I said, see, that's a good thing. I said, but here, because here we are, I said, us Christians, I said, we're used to before the Lord just doing whatever we want to do and getting us in all kinds of trouble and messes and miserable and all of that. I said, and here comes the Lord. I said, intervenes into our life. It starts to bring us under His authority. But you know what it's doing to Aiden? It's bringing structure in his life. That's not a bad thing. It's bringing structure in his life. And you know what? It's going to come on up just like it does all of us. I had no structure and stability in my life until I met Jesus. And then the more that I meditated on the Word, the more structure did it begin to build in my life to where now you can depend on me. I'm dependable. I'm going to get more dependable. I heard a song on WDJC this evening after I was got out of the shower, and the song was, I can't love you no more, Lord. I can't love you no more. And I told the Lord, I said, I can, Lord. I'm not in love with you as deep as what I want to be. I said, Lord, I can love you more. I can, Lord. You teach me. That song was singing. And I thought, I'm not there. Maybe they are. But I told the Lord, I said, I can love you more, Lord. I can love you deeper. Well, I mean, how deep is God's love? He put His Son on the cross. That's deep, ain't it? You know, and so I said, Lord, I can love you more. Help me to love you more, Lord. I want to love you deeper, Lord. You know, and that's God's Word. Love the Lord with all my heart. See, Scripture for what I'm telling the Lord. Love the Lord with all of my heart, all of my strength, all of my mind. See, God's Word lets me know that I'm not at the end of God. That there's and that gives me a freedom on the inside to know that I can go deeper and stronger in the Lord. Give that 1 Peter 2. You didn't have it, did you? Oh, you did? Look, put that one up there. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That word grow right there, that word grow means to expand. I wrote it down. It means more than what I just said. In the Greek words, it means to enlarge, to give increase, to expand. How many knows that when the Word is embraced in your life, in my life, it starts to bring expansion. It starts to bring spiritual growth. It starts to bring a settled mind. That's why the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. But be it means don't keep your mind on the things of this world like people in the world does. You know, troubles and the economy and all of that, man. I mean, we got to just be in a place to where we're like, no matter what. When it went to $5 a gallon, Mac, that was a challenge for me. Man, I'm telling you right now, $50 would take me to Coleman and back in one of my trucks. $50. And I mean that was, so you know what I did? I would pull up and sometimes I would only have $20. And I would go in there and pay for that gas, and I would come out and say, thank you, Lord. Whoo, for this $20 worth of gas. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, God. You know what I was doing? Combating how I felt, defeated. Combating what it looked like, defeat in the natural. Combating the emotions and feelings of being that way, you know, and thinking, man, my service charge at this time is only $65, and I'm going to have $15 left. That's all I'm going to get. And I had to combat all that and start saying little as much when God's in it. Why? Because I refused to let what I was facing steal the Word of God and hope for my future at the time and season that I knew would change. Seasons change. Things change. God's Word changes things in the seasons. See, faith don't mean that the circumstances are going to change. Faith means you have the ability to stand strong through what you're facing. Sometimes it does move obstacles. Sometimes it does, you know, change things immediately. But most of the time, it helps you build to where you see your God in the middle of that fiery furnace, in the middle of that lion's den, in the middle of your physical challenges. Hallelujah. Faith is the force of God that keeps us in the will of God. It is the will of God that you be strong. It is the will of God that you be full of faith and courage. It's not the will of God that you be fearful and defeated and oppressed because of things going on around you and in your family. Hallelujah. If my family wants to choose the road of doubt and unbelief, there's nothing I can do. I pray for them. That's all I can do. That's absolutely all I can do unless God... But you know what? I'm not going to walk down that Lodabar road myself. I'm not going to get in it with my mind and heart myself because I feel pitiful and sorry for them and all of that, and it hurts and hurtful. No, I cast that over on the Lord, and I just have to say, God, they're choosing. They're choosing this hardship road. They're choosing it because you said in your word that you set before us life and death, blessing and cursing for us to choose life. And I've chose life, Lord, and they can see it in my life. My friends, my relatives, your relatives, your people. I mean, look, your family knows that you go to church. They know. They know what you stand for. They know. Now, you might not always feel that they're looking and, you know, or whatever, but yes, they are. Everybody's watching you. And that's fine. That's fine. Because watch us see God move, and then they going to see God move. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you want to, and it will be added. I just had a thought. I thought, well, I think I want a flatbed for that duty I got. Because, I mean, I don't like climbing over the side to see how close I am hooking the goose. It's just really inconvenient. Well, they're anywhere from Goodwin is anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000. And so I'm scrolling through and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for my flatbed. Thank you, Lord, and I'll get a good deal on it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And my thoughts, well, you don't really have to have that. You know, and I cast them down. I said, my heart's desire, Satan, is to have a flatbed on there. I don't even want the truck, be honest with you, Satan. But God wanted me to have it. And I'm going to be pleased with it. Well, you know what? Had one up there, on there, and it's a 2017 model. It's not all that old. Had the gooseneck already in it that I need, you know, big headboard and all that. And so I'm looking through there, and I thought, there's a bunch of them in there. I thought, there it is right there. And I looked, and it was $900, and I thought, I'm not giving that. So I just punched on there. I said, would you consider $500? And he said, no. Poof. I said, okay. I waited about a month and a half, scrolled back in there again. There it was, still in there. All the rest of them sold. And I'm like, oh, somebody's going to buy it. And I thought, not if it's mine. I'm not going, I shall, don't we sing it, I shall not be, we got to do that. We can't just sing it. We got to be, don't be anxious for nothing. Don't that what the word said? Don't be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with, thank you, Lord, for my bed. Let all your requests be known to God. 3 months. 3 months went by. And so I went on there, I said, he's going to take it. I said, I'll give $500. And he come back and said, fine. I said, woo, yeah, baby. That bed is worth $5,000. If you went and bought that same bed brand new, it's only 3 or 4 years old, it would cost you $5,000. I looked at him. So I got me a one-ton flat bed. Put my welder on it and all that good stuff, praise God. Right here in the middle of CNN and all of them, and you know, oh yeah, the economy's good. CNN, them, oh, are they stupid? And then they get up there and they say, yeah, the economy's just booming and rocking. And I'm like, don't they know inflation's down here? Every time I go to that little grandmother down there, she's like, oh, I can't afford to get but 1 gallon now. And I'd be like, well, God will take care of you. If he needs to, he'll send a milk cow. Might buy you a jersey, man. You can milk them. I've milked cows that used to drink cow milk. We milked cows at home. We had fresh milk, strained fresh milk. We made our own butter. Buttermilk. churned it a bunch. I hated it. It takes a long time. But you got to churn and churn and churn. I want to be out there on the Tarzan vine. But you know, I remember that. I can milk a cow, and I can make me some butter. You know? But anyhow, but God, I mean, look, inflation's for everybody. It's high for everybody. But don't the Bible say that God will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus? Don't the Bible say in Proverbs 3, lean not, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding or the world's way of thinking. And He said, and He acknowledged Him, and He'll direct our path. I mean, I've seen in times when you couldn't make money, God'd say, buy that. I'd be like, I don't want that. I'd buy it, you know, weld it up, get it done, you know, and then the Lord say, sell it. I made $1,300 or $1,400 off of one deal one time when things wasn't rocking too good. I bought a horse. And then the Lord told me to buy a horse. I bought that horse, and I mean in a time when they're giving them away on Craigslist. I mean they're giving them. God told me, He said, sell it. And I thought, man. It sounds like God. Tell me to sell a horse when they're not bringing nothing. I mean nothing. They was giving them away. And you know what? I spread it around a little bit. Praise God. Sold that horse for what I give for it. That was a Mitchell, wasn't it? Bought that Appaloosa. And the Lord, all the time the Lord was saying, see, if you listen to me, I'll set you up. I'll set you up and you'll get deals. I'll tell you to do things that you will make money later on. Just like right now, I'm going through, you know, I'm thinking, I got about 10 or 12 calves. And then my brother's trying to build a herd and all that stuff, you know. And I thought, okay, praise God. I got before the Lord thinking about it and all that. And then my mind says, yeah, but if you do that, then you're going to lose this kind of money. Because you could sell them for that kind of money. Now you're going to do this, and it's going to be... And I told Satan, I said, yeah, but idiot, what you don't know is 3 years down the road, this sacrifice seemingly that I'm making right now is going to bless my boots off. See, you can't think short term. God thinks long term. God sees 5 years down the road. God sees 10 years down the road. God sees our future. The Bible says that His plans for us is that we would have a future and hope, a good future. Praise God. So God's just wanting to encourage you tonight, you know. I mean, you look around and, I mean, people are discouraged. And the church, a lot of Christians are discouraged. But you know why? Because they're not sitting under the Word and feeding on the Word. And they're not getting in the Word. They're Facebooking the Scriptures every now and then. That's sickening to me, praise God. Because somebody feels something, they put it on there, and it's no inspiration to me. I know I read it. And I'm like, I don't really mean. Why? Word out of season. But I get in that Bible, and I say, oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Or I go to meditating on the Word. Lord, what do I need to think on today? Lord, what do I need to, you know, think on, meditate on? See, God took me to Joshua 1:8 back yonder when I was a young man, 28 years old, and Joshua 1:8. And he told Joshua, after Joshua was taken over from Moses, millions of people, I don't know how many people was out there, but he had a big task that was bigger than him, that he's got to take up the mantle of Moses. Got to take up this big task, hallelujah. You know, and he tells him, he said, Joshua, he said, meditate on my word day and night. Let it not depart from your mouth. And the one translation says, continually, on a continual basis, let God's word be coming out of your mouth. That's what he told Joshua. Then he told Joshua, he said, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. And I thought back then, and I said, Lord, I said, you didn't say you would. Because I'm thinking, you know, where's God in this, you know? He said, if you'll meditate on this, I will make you prosperous. And so I'm thinking about that, and I thought, don't say nothing about the Lord in there. You know, God, you know. And then God spoke to me. He said, I told him, read on. And I read on and it said, "For I am with thee." And God spoke to me. He said, "You, I'm with you. I'm in you. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Now you meditate on my word day and night, and you will make your way prosperous. And you will have good success." And bless God, I'm telling you, it works. The more I do it, the more successful I become. The more you do it, I don't care what my body says, I'm going to live long, satisfied. Hallelujah. I don't live by how I feel. I don't walk by how I feel. Sometimes I do feel defeated. I feel weak. And you know what I do? I'll squat down and I'll say, "Lord, I feel weak, but the Bible says I'm strong." Hallelujah. And Lord, I'm strong. Thank you, Lord. I'm strong. He said, "Let the weak say that I'm strong." He said, "Don't go tell everybody you feel weak today. You feel tired today. You feel weary today. You just don't feel good today." And I have to repent every now and then, because I'll spit it out to Teresa how I feel, a little bit. I'll have to repent. I'll say, "Well, Lord, I'm sorry. I got against you there. I come against you there, and I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to come against you. I don't want my words to be styled against you, Lord, so that you can't do what you want to do in my life. Because I can do all things through you, because you are strengthened in me." Praise God. So God wants you to be encouraged, you know. Let that word be first place, final authority. And I mean, even when you attain it and you know it and all that, I mean, you still need to go and rehearse it. You need to rehearse that word. Every now and then, remind God of the word. He don't forget nothing, but it helps you, praise God. So don't let your heart be troubled about things. Just don't let it be troubled. It's a choice. And I've had people, when I tell them that, they say, "Well, I just can't help it. I got so much trouble going." No, you can help it. You're worrying. Your mind is on it. Get it on the Lord. Get it on. Then you won't. It'll help you not to worry. It'll help you not to be oppressed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads.